Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. All right, now we're here with a Newcastle season review, of course, speaking with Jake Jackman. You can find him on Twitter at Jake Jackman. You can also find his writings over at The Boot Room and EPL Index. Jake, great having you on. We'll start with the Chelsea win there in the final match of the season, a 3-0 effort, kind of secured your place there in the top 10. What did you make of that match, and how significant is it for you that you managed to stay in that top 10?
Yeah, it was a really good performance, actually. I think we played Chelsea off the park from start to finish. The possession stats were quite interesting, considering that we've not really had much of the ball in a lot of our wins this season. I thought that Chelsea would come and, you know, they still had something to play for, even if it was unlikely. And we didn't have much to. I know there's top 10 things thrown about, but I don't think anyone was... It's not that big of a motivator on the last day, I don't think, or at least it wasn't for me. But yeah, we had 16 shots to Chelsea 6. You know, we completely dominated them and could have scored more, actually. We had a few more chances that could have went in. It was a really pleasing performance, and some would say maybe our best performance of the season, and the fact it came late is a little bit disappointing. But, you know, it took us into the top 10 and only 10 points off a European spot, which is quite amazing considering the run we had around November, and as a promoted team as well. I think we've had a really, really good season, and yesterday was just sort of like the cherry on top. It's sort of similar to the Spurs game a couple of years ago, although this time it actually was a happier note to end on rather than doing it after getting relegated and sort of the frustration that caused. It was similar to that, and means that we finish the season now with 3 wins against top 6 teams at home, and add that to the draw against Liverpool. It's a really good record and shows that the worth of Benitez in those big games, and really just shows the importance of keeping him now. That's going to be the next task, whether we do or not. I'm sure we'll come on to that a little bit later, but he's done incredibly well with the squad he's got. I don't completely buy into the Championship squad line now. I think they've proven themselves that they are actually quite good at this level, especially, and you see the development of a lot of the players. Paul Dummett to come on a lot, Perez especially in the latter end of the season has done very, very well, and he's sort of becoming the player everybody thought he could be. So he's improved the players we've got available. Shelby as well, let's talk about an England World Cup squad call up. So he's done, and it's a worthy shout this time, whereas before it's just been talked about because, you know, he has a few good games. Now he's shown consistently he was probably the best player on the pitch yesterday. So if he can keep this squad together, and he's given some money, I don't think he wants a great deal, but if he does get given some money, I think, you know, we can go into the transfer market now and say, look, we finished the top 10 in the Premier League with Rafa Benitez as manager. We've got a really high average attendance. Come and play for Newcastle. And that game yesterday was just a great advert for what Newcastle could be. We said it time and time again before that we can be challenging at the top end of the league again, maybe not in top 6, but definitely, you know, for the European spots. And yesterday showed that. I just hope Mike Ashley doesn't let it slip through his fingers yet again.
Yeah, that's a good point about the Championship squad, because I think even I thought that at the start of the season, but as you pointed out, I mean, you saw a lot of development from like Lascelles and Jonjo Shelvey, as you mentioned. Ayo Zaperez came on late in the season. Dwight Gayle still maybe not the business up front, but we can get to that in a little bit. As we look at the season on the whole, what were some of the highlights and lowlights from the Newcastle season? You did mention there some of your high-profile wins.
Yeah, so it started off quite well, I think. You know, after the Spurs game, we lost to Huddersfield as well. It was a poor start, but then we won 4 in a row to sort of lift us out of the relegation fight immediately. It gave us a bit of breathing space, and I think we needed that. So, you know, starting off with 12 points is a decent start, and And then around November, Lascelles got injured. I think the stats with and without him in the team are incredible. We concede very few with him. And without him, I think it was over averaging over 3 a game. So it just shows his importance. So that was a really poor run. It was around that time that, you know, a lot of people were talking about potential relegation and that Rafa didn't deserve all the like the love he got from the supporters. He wasn't all that. He wasn't doing great things in the squad. But they really bounced back from that. And I think the turning point was that on Boxing Day we played, or I think it was just before Boxing Day, it was the game before Boxing Day, played West Ham away and we'd, you know, gone those 9 matches, only taken 1 point. And we went to the London Stadium. Admittedly, West Ham weren't the best team this season, but we went there, scored 3 goals, you know, played really good counter-attacking football. And it was a turning point. You know, it was important that we got that because the next game is Manchester City. So, you know, if we'd have lost against West Ham or taken a point and then lost to City, that would have been 11 matches. So that was such an important win, that one against West Ham. And from there, we didn't really lose many more matches until we were pretty much safe and maybe we let our foot off the gas. So I think that was a big turning point. The Manchester United game was also a big match at home. We moved into the relegation zone, I think, just before that one. The game earlier, I think it was Huddersfield had won and moved above us, putting us in bottom 3. But we beat Manchester United at home, such a big performance. We were really good value for those 3 points. Then after that, we didn't really look back. And I think we really earned our spot in the Premier League. And a 10th place finish, you know, I didn't expect that at the start of the season. I thought we'd be safe, but I thought it'd be a lot closer. And it was a bit of a weird league, the fact that we finished 10th. I think sometimes that, you know, there weren't a great deal of good teams outside of Burnley. But, you know, we got 10th place finish and hopefully we can build on that. So, yeah, definitely the 2 important games for me were probably that West Ham and Manchester United wins. They were both huge.
Obviously, the downside from it, the outside looking in, surely would have seemed like that January period where even on the show you were saying you were worried about relegation and that you hadn't been strengthening the squad at all. Was that the lowest point for you this year?
Yeah, maybe. We had a few winnable games around there. I think we had Swansea and Brighton that we dropped points, and Burnley we dropped points. So it was a weird period where we weren't losing matches, but we weren't really progressing, and we're still like sort of stuck in those 16th, 17th positions, and there wasn't much going on the transfer window front. But looking back at that window now, it looks like Newcastle had one of the better windows, and it's probably those deals that really pushed the safety. Dubravka's done really, really well since coming in. There's some talk he could get signed as early as the end of the week, so that would be really, really good if we did manage to get that one done. $4 million, I think the fee is, which isn't at all bad in this market. I think he's shown himself to be one of the better Premier League keepers over the second half of the season. I think he's done really, really well, and considering he's come from relatively nowhere, you know, it shows the value that can still be found in the transfer market. Kennedy came in on loan and we wanted him in the summer, didn't get him. It didn't go through for one reason or another. Got him in January and he's done really, really well. And he's a player I'd like to see stay at Newcastle as well. He was a really good sign. He brought a bit of quality, a bit of flair to our attack that was definitely lacking during the first half season. And then Slimani as well, he had a couple of moments, but ultimately would be remembered as a bit of a failure at Newcastle, didn't score, got a ban really stupidly. But I think him coming in really did push Gale on. Yes, he may not have scored the goals, but his movement, his overall play was really, really good. So, yes, Gale was maybe a little bit of a disappointment, but I think he did really contribute. And that was impacted by the Slimani signing. So I think on the whole, January was a frustrating month, but we did get the business done that we needed to get done. So, and I think that was a major month in our survival. I think if we didn't get those players in, I'm not sure we would have finished as high. We definitely wouldn't have finished as high, and we might have even been in a bit of trouble at the bottom. But those 3 players came in and sort of did. They all contributed in their own way, although Slimani didn't quite live up to how good people thought he would be. But the other 2 really good signings. I hope they, you know, both return next season.
Yeah, Slimani was a weird one. I mean, you signed him injured, didn't play like the first 4. Then when he could finally come back, it was the Leicester match, which he also couldn't play. And then he picks up the ban, so didn't exactly cover himself in glory, but. Like you said, Kennedy and Dubravka, obviously very, very impactful in your season. Do you think the success of those transfers may make Mike Ashley kind of open his purse strings? Also, you mentioned in the intro there that you really feel like Benitez needs to be offered a little support there in the transfer window.
Yeah, I think so. I think last season he had a bit of an excuse where there was this takeover stuff. We were relegated. We were a relegated team. That did impact our finances. We did have the Premier League money coming in. So there was... I think Benitez maybe put up with it because there was reasons, but there's no reason not to spend this summer. We've got the Premier League money coming in. I think, you know, that's about 100 million. So if there's no reason why he shouldn't be given a good 50, 60, 70 million. I don't think he's asking for the world. He's not asking for a ridiculous amount. He just wants to spend what he thinks Newcastle are earning. And I think if he's given that, if he's given, say, 60 million to bring in three or four players, I don't think we need a great deal. Of course, I'd like to see us improve all across the pitch. But I think three or four signings in good positions would really just push the rest of the team on, because we've got a young squad and they've all been improving. So I think Benitez, it wouldn't take a lot to get him to stay. It'd just be interesting to see whether Ashley would do that or not. I can't see a reason why he wouldn't. It seems a little bit counterproductive to get rid of a manager that's massively overperforming just to save a few quid, because it ultimately would lead us, you know, regressing down the table again. And with Benitez, if he's given that money, if he's given that opportunity to strengthen, if he finished 10th of this squad now, in a year's time with three or four quality additions, there's no reason why we can't be challenging higher. I just think he's such a good manager. And he's a good manager for Ashley, really, because if Ashley doesn't want to spend the big money, if he wants the club to sort of sustain itself, then it's better to invest in your manager than playing staff. I think Benitez has proven he can find value. Dubravko, Kennedy, we spoke about, they're only loans, but they're both really good signings. Marino in the first half season was really, really good. I'm not sure what happened to him. Whether he stays for another season, I'm not sure. But he showed he had quality, and there was a few others as well. Lejeune really came on. So yeah, I'm hopeful that he is given some money. I don't think we'll be spending loads and loads, but I think we should be spending what sort of like West Ham, Bournemouth, Crystal Palace are spending. We should be spending that sort of money. There's no really excuse not to.
Yeah, obviously the media always wants to drag speculation in about Rafa Benitez. To me, it seems like he's definitely going to be staying. I assume you get that feeling as well.
I'm not that confident. I'm not saying it. I definitely think he's going to stay. I think it's more likely than not. I think he wants to stay with Newcastle, and he'd accept a lot less from Newcastle than he would from other clubs. So I think it's more likely than not. He's got another year on his contract. I think the really interesting time will be next summer, if Mike Ashley's still at the club. That will be the interesting one, if we can get him to sign a new contract or not. I think that a lot will depend on this summer. If he's given money, if he's given a chance to sign the players he wants to sign. Because the thing about Benitez, he will have players lined up now. He will know which players he wants. He would have been talking to them. He would have been lining up deals. He did it last summer. Tammy Abraham was one he lined up, and it just didn't get done because Mike Ashley wouldn't pay sort of the loan fee. You just need to let Benitez line up these deals, get them done early, just get him happy, get him signed onto a new contract. That's what we need to do. I think if you ask me now, do I think he's going to stay? I think he is, but it's a difficult one. I think it's not as certain as our managers of other clubs, because he is, so we are lucky to have him, and he knows that he can play that card. So it'll be interesting. He's dealt, I'd say the last window was a successful one. We gave him what he needed without spending the sort of big money that Mike Ashley doesn't really want to spend. I think the few before that didn't go too well, and I think if we have another bad one this summer, I think it would probably rule Benitez out of staying long term. I think this is a massive window for us. We need to just need to give him a good budget, let him go and do what he needs to do, and just give him full control over those deals. We don't need the problem with Newcastle in the past is there's been too many people having a say. It's been a very slow process in getting deals done. We just need to let Benitez do it. He's more than earned the opportunity now, and we just need to let him go about his business.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You said he should be kind of given full reins. What would you like to see him do in the summer window?
I think the first thing needs to be get Dubravko in. I think that's one that's pretty much nailed on, and I think that would be a good way to start the window, because there's nothing worse than going 4, 5, 6 weeks without signing a player. It gets the fan base, the nerves build among the fan base, speculation grows about different things. It's not what you want. Get an early deal done quick, and I think Dubravka will be that. I'd like to see Kennedy signed, but I'd understand if he wasn't. I think we need to sign a striker. We really do need to sign a top-quality striker. I wouldn't mind if half of our budget went on a striker, broke our transfer record. I think that's really, really needed. Our top score was Perez. I think he got 7 or 8. It wasn't a great amount, and a lot of those came in the sort of the last few months. I think we need a quality striker. We probably need... maybe need a better left back. I like Dummett for what he does, but and a more attacking option there just to rotate. And maybe another centre back as well. There's not many positions that scream out to me that we need to strengthen. If Marino goes, maybe a central midfielder, but the main one has to be a striker, and getting Dubravka done. If those two get done, I think any other business we'll need other business, of course, but I think those are the two priority positions, goalkeeper and striker. I think with goalkeeper, we've already got the player we want there, but the striker is going to be the big one. We haven't signed sort of a top tier striker for a long time, probably not since we had. I think the striker problem has been the striking position has been a problem since Demba Ba left. I don't think we've ever really got anybody better than that, and I think it's important that we resolve that this summer if we spend big. Names don't really stick out. I've seen Christian Benteke sort of talk. I've seen speculation about him leaving Palace maybe. Yes, he hasn't had a great season, but I think he'd be quite a good fit for this Newcastle team. Somebody that ilk, maybe not the best example. I don't have players jumping out of my mind, but somebody like a Benteke would be quite a good start, I think.
I could offer you a Llorente and a Janssen.
I would have taken Janssen 2 years ago, but I don't think I would now.
Fair enough. Anybody you see kind of edging their way near the exit door?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see Marino go. I think it'd be disappointing if he did, because I think he's got a lot of talent, but just gone off the rails for him. It's one of those ones that I can't explain, and it might be he had a bit of a back injury, maybe that held him back. It might be something personal. It might be that he's not happy in England. You know, you don't always know what's going on in these players' minds, but he was really good for a period, and then he just wasn't, and it's very difficult to explain. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him go. Wouldn't be surprised to see Gale go, to be honest, to another championship club. I've seen Stoke linked recently, and that would probably be a good move for him. I think he can do a good job in the Premier League, but he's so much better in the championship. His game is more suited to it, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him go. I wouldn't expect to see any players that I'd want to keep go. I don't see Shelvey going. I don't really see Lascelles going yet. I think he's quite happy being captain. Mitrovic probably is going to go, but I think there'll be a few players going. But say if we sold Mitrovic and Gale, you know, that's a good, we'd probably get a good 30 million for those two from championship clubs, or maybe a foreign club for Mitrovic. I think, and with that 30 million and the money we've got coming in for the Premier League, you know, there's a lot of money to spend. And I think, say if we sold Mitrovic and Gale and got a third, say we brought in 30 million, we spend that on one player, you know, that's something that we can look to do. I think, especially when Mitrovic has not actually been at the club for half a season, it wouldn't be like we're losing two players. So I wouldn't be surprised if something like that happened. I think Hossolu is a fine squad player. He fits into Benitez's style quite well. And we've got Perez sort of coming up. And maybe I wouldn't be surprised to just sign two strikers, but I think one might be of a lower calibre than the other, let's say.
Yeah, fair enough. And then as we head into 2018-19, what are you expecting from Newcastle? You mentioned earlier that you would like to stay in the top 10, maybe push up to the edge of that top six. I mean, everybody wants to push into the top six. It just seems pretty locked at the moment. But what are you looking forward to next year?
So I think it's quite simple what I want. And Benitez spoke about it in his just before we played Chelsea. He said, I want to make Newcastle a top 10 team, and I don't want it to be like this season where it's felt like we've sort of stumbled our way into the top 10. We don't want to be doing that again. We want to be finishing there on merit and come across as one of the best teams outside of that top six. So I think that's definitely an aim. If we spend well and recruit well and keep Benitez, that's a really achievable aim. I'd also like us to go deep in a cup. I'd like a trip to Wembley, whether that'd be a semi-final of the FA Cup or a final. That would be really... Newcastle have not had one of those for a long time. So I think that has to be... And I think that's probably Benitez's main aim for what he wants to do in Newcastle, probably to win a cup. We haven't done it in so long, and I think that's got to be the target. It's got to be finish in the top 10 and go deep in one of the cups. And I can't see a reason why we can't do that. This squad's developed a lot. We're a lot better than we were a year ago. And if we can sign sort of four or five quality players and really improve that squad, because by signing players, you improve the ones already there. We saw that with Gale and Somani. It's all a process. And I think that's what we've got to do. We've got to try and, you know, set ourselves up for next season, to start the season with a lot of momentum, and to finish in the top 10 and go deep in the cup. I think that's got to be the aim.
Yeah, I think it would be good for Newcastle to make it deep in one of the cup competitions. Also, I think it's really interesting you're talking of like needing to spend under Benitez, because at the other end of the table, we're kind of feeling the same way. Poch even came out and basically said he needs to be backed if Tottenham can kind of break out of this current mold we're in, that he's basically taken us as far as he can with the current squad. Do you kind of feel that's the same with Benitez?
Yeah, I think he's got everything out of this squad. I don't think he could achieve better than a 10th place finish with the players we've got. So we need to strengthen.
Yeah, agreed. Cool. Well, if you'd like to tell the folks where they could reach you, now would be a good time.
Yeah, you can get me on Twitter at Jake Jackman with two N's. I write for EPL Index and The Boot Room, so check both those out. And thanks for listening all season. I guess to all my moans about Newcastle, got to chuck a thank you in now. It's the end of the season.
Yeah, well, it's obviously been a pleasure having you on, even when you are a bit worried, but glad to see you in the top 10. And it's just good having Newcastle back up in the Premier League. Oh, right before we exit, sorry, I meant to ask this earlier. Do you take any pride in the fact that all three championship sides stayed up, or does that not really matter to you?
Yeah, definitely. For me, I think it's a really good sign, especially where the money in the Premier League, it's so much bigger than what's on offer in the Championship, that it's a huge achievement for all three staying up. I think it's the first time that it's happened in a while. I think this is the third time it's happened in the history of the league. So I'm very happy. I'm not surprised. I said at the start of the season, I thought all three promoted clubs would do well. I thought maybe one of them would go down, but it wouldn't be an embarrassing sort of relegation. But no, they've all stayed up, all done really well. Not sure it'll be the same case next year, but I had a good feeling about all three clubs going into the season, and I'm not overly surprised to see them all staying up. It's a warning to Mike Ashley, even though we're one of those three promoted clubs now, that you look at the teams at the bottom, they're teams that sort of stagnated and wasted resources, made poor managerial appointments, and it just led to a year of turmoil and relegation for three of them. Southampton were lucky this time, but it's a warning that if you sort of just go through the motions in this league, you will be punished for it.
For sure. Also, so a little extra exit topic there for people that stayed through the au revoirs. Jake, absolute pleasure having you on all season. Thanks so much for coming on today, and I'm sure we'll speak soon.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.